This is text 20 of the second chapter. So do you repetition or do I just read the verse? What's this? You do everything, okay. Okay, so na jayate mriyate vakada chinayam bhutva bhutvata vana bhuya ajanityo sasvato yam punano nahri hanyate hanyamane sharire. So na, never. Jayate, takes birth. Mriyate, dies. Va, either. Karichit, at any time. Which means past, present, or future. Na, never. Ayam, this. Bhutva, having come into being. Bhavita will come to be. Va, or. Na, not. Bhuya, or is again coming to be.
Or is again coming to be.
Aja, unborn. Nitya, eternal. Shasvata, permanent. Ayam, this. Puranaha, the oldest. Na, never. Hanyate, is killed. Hanyamane, being killed. Sharire, the body. So let's see the translation here. Oh, I like this translation. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into. I'm going to read both translations. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and has not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever existing, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. There's a slightly more poetic original translation that, as a devotee, I grew up with, and I'm going to read it, that Srila Prabhupada printed. I happened to be there in 1972 in the airport in New York City, where when Srila Prabhupada arrived at the airport, can you hear me? At the airport, I had actually the honor of setting the hall up, the United Airlines, and at that time they gave us a huge hall right off of the gates. All the devotees could go out to the gates and greet Srila Prabhupada, and then we went into this large reception room. And somehow or other, we rigged up a Vyasasan and everything. And then we presented Srila Prabhupada with the first unabridged Macmillan Bhagavad Gita. And there's lots of photos of that. It was Srila Prabhupada, of course, was very, very happy. Anyways, in that edition that I'm referring to, the translation to the verse is, for the soul there is never birth nor death, nor having once been does he ever cease to be. He is unborn, eternal, ever existing, undying, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. So, means the same thing, but I think it's stated nicely. So we have, of course, this purport. Tonight, I was chanting Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Narottam Das Thakur named so many auspicious personalities, but he also mentions Bhagavad Gita directly. He mentions Rupa Sanatan Goswamis, and he also mentions Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes there are some persons who feel that Bhagavad Gita is ABCs, talking about the soul, Atma Gyan, and that once we get the gist of it, we can skip on, and we don't have to really study Bhagavad Gita very much. But yet, Narottam Das Thakur, he mentions Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Sita, Hari Guru Vaishnava, Hari Guru Vaishnava, Bhagavad Gita. I mean, you can't be, they're not more holy sounds. And then Rupa Sanatana Gopas, Swamis are mentioned next. So Bhagavad Gita is right in there. So there is no getting away from Bhagavad Gita. Actually, in the introduction, in that same note, I was noticing that Srila Prabhupada wants to us to know the importance. Let's see. I feel it has to be emphasized. You have this Bhagavad Gita class every night here in Sri Vrindavan Dham. What is the speciality of Vrindavan? Speciality of Vrindavan is this is the place where the gopis associated with Krishna. And yet we are studying Bhagavad Gita here. So some people might think that we should move on. But Srila Prabhupada insisted the otherwise. It's worth it just for me to find this. This is Srila Prabhupada. Just what is the Bhagavad Gita? The purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to deliver mankind from the nescience of material existence. Every man in difficulty is in difficulty in so many ways, as Arjuna also was in difficulty in having to fight the battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna surrendered unto Krishna, and consequently this Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Not only Sri Krishna, not only Arjuna, but every one of us is full of anxieties because of the material existence. Our very existence is in the atmosphere of non-existence. Actually, we are not meant to be threatened by non-existence. Our existence is eternal, but somehow or other, we are put into asat. Asat refers to that which does not exist. So this very verse is referring to the nature of the soul, that the soul is sat. And this is the foundation of spiritual life. You may have heard about it in the news. A few months back, there was a major alert spread all over the state of Hawaii in the United States. It was a bomb alert. And everybody on the island, on their cell phone, got an alert, texted to them, saying that a missile was heading toward Hawaii. And this was not a drill, as stated right in the message. And this is not a drill. So you can imagine the panic that proceeded in the public at large. They thought that a nuclear weapon was on the way. And I got this message as I happened to be talking with my son. We were on the phone, I was in Hawaii. And suddenly I felt the protection of Srila Prabhupada. Why? Because he had taught me I'm eternal. Nothing can happen to me. And I felt so much benefited. I felt as a child who had been instructed by my father and had benefited from his knowledge, his association. And I felt nothing. I felt no fear. But that's Srila Prabhupada's mercy. There was a lot of chaos going on in the city. People were trying to protect one another and so forth. Of course, luckily, it was false alarm. But that was another kind of test. And I was able to really bathe and feel the asset of gyan, atma gyan. I was able to feel the benefit of this knowledge. Srila Prabhupada says in this introduction that we are trying to get away from the nescience of the non-existence, maya. The concept that somehow or other we are temporary. That somehow or other we are temporary. And of course, this is the most basic thing. So why should we dwell on this? This is ABCs. Well, one thing is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came here to deliver all the spirit souls in all conditions by delivering the holy name, but also bringing the knowledge. And so Srila Prabhupada, in his position of Madhyamadhikari, he delivers this nectarine message, and therefore I could feel no fear that there might be a missile coming. And others who can read Bhagavad Gita will wake up, Jeev Jago, will wake up and realize they have another mission in life. They have another purpose in life. And that is to inquire. Inquire. I once... Atato Brahma Jigyasat. I once was asked to do some public relations in New York. And it was kind of an experiment. So they asked me to fit out an apartment. I was going to be the test householder. And I was going to invite people to my home as if I was kind of a little bit attached. So I had a big apartment in a nice location. And they had a nice furniture, and I was going to invite people there, and I was going to talk Krishna Katha with them. And they would identify with me because I was an undercover devotee, so to speak. But on the wall, I had a devotee who was an artist create a really nice painting, and on it says, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. That was going to be a topic of conversation if I sat people down and... Now is the time to inquire. Human form of life. So this Atma-gyan that is so simple, that is being presented here by Krishna to Arjuna, is the pillar of spiritual life. Because we are suffering, and the reason we're suffering is because we're thinking we're this body. Okay? And so as soon as we're thinking we're this body, then we're entangled in everything else. And we do not pursue. We do not lift a finger towards spiritual pursuits. That had to be the impetus. This had to be the awakening. We once had a traveling show all over the United States back in the 70s. It was called the First Transcendental Exposition. And Srila Prabhupada attended one of the shows. Yes, Vishnu Jan Maharaj was amongst the performers. And there were some very nice songs. It was a whole play put to music, modern music. And Srila Prabhupada sat in the audience after he gave a lecture. And he liked it very much. And there was a scene in there where some of our devotees were acting as if they were wayward persons who were lost, hippies, students and so forth, and some of them were a little intoxicated in the play. And so Srila Prabhupada asked one of the devotees sitting near him, he says, are these our men? And then they broke out in a song, you know you're not that body, we're all spirit, soul. You might have heard it somewhere. But this is so revolutionary, somehow. Somehow it's revolutionary that we're not this body. And therefore, we're not afraid to go back to Bhagavad Gita. We're not afraid to see Krishna as Ishwara. Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha. These are all, Krishna is unique. He's, of course, the Param Ishwara. But we're also Ishwaras. We're also Sat. We're also Chit. We also have Anand. We also have Vigraha. So this information is the cornerstone or the foundation for everything else that may be proceeding from there. And therefore it should not be ignored or bypassed. As a matter of fact, I should read the purport now. I can explain a few more things that are important, I think. Qualitatively, Srila Prabhupada says, qualitatively, the small atomic fragmental part of the Supreme Spirit is one with the Supreme. He understands no changes like the body. Sometimes the soul is called the steady or kutashtra. The body is subject to six kinds of transformations. It takes its birth from the womb of the mother's body, remains for some time, grows, produces some effects, gradually dwindles, and at last vanishes into oblivion. The soul, however, does not go through such changes. The soul is not born. But because it takes on a material body, the body takes its birth. The soul does not take birth there, and the soul does not die. Anything which has birth also has death. So this is important to know. That's why the soul ultimately is not involved. And because the soul has no birth, he therefore has no past, present, or future. He is eternal, ever-existing and primeval. That is, there is no trace in history of his coming into being. Under the impression of the body, we seek the history of birth, etc., of the soul. The soul does not at any time become old as the body does. The so-called old man, therefore, feels himself to be in the same spirit as his childhood or youth. The changes of the body do not affect the soul. The soul does not deteriorate like a tree nor anything material. The soul has no byproduct either. The byproducts of the body, namely children, are also different. Individual souls, and owing to the body, they appear as children of a particular man. The body develops because of the soul's presence. But the soul has neither offshoots nor change. Therefore, the soul is free from the six changes of the body. So this is, again, ABCs of Krishna consciousness. But when we hear this information, this Krishna Katha, this is all Krishna Katha. It is shabda, it is sound vibration. It is purifying, just like japa, or hearing a bhajan, or in hearing mantras. To engage in the sound, hearing the sound vibration, is purifying. So therefore this Hari Katha, which includes discussing the forbals, the satisfying features of this material world. This is all part of Vaishnav Katha. We're liberated. Devotees can talk about things that non-devotees can never handle. Very often, devotees become nurses. I've seen this as a profession. And they have to experience families who are about to lose a loved one. And when that happens, in many cases, the families are in total disorientation. They don't know what to do. They go mad. They're about to lose a loved one, and it's as if they're about to go over a cliff into a dark abyss, and they have no knowledge. They have no knowledge of the soul. And yet to discuss these matters among demoniac people is considered to be somehow or other unsophisticated. One devotee, Rabindra Swarup Prabhu, he went to Temple University in Philadelphia, and he got his PhD in religion. And I was staying at the Philadelphia Temple for a while, and he would come back from visiting there, and he'd laugh and say, "Well, the soul is out." You know, the expression that certain types of music or certain types of clothing are out. They are no longer in fashion. So he's coming directly from the university, from the religion department. He said, "The soul is out. It's no longer accepted in academic circles. These so-called sophisticated dogs, they will not even accept the soul." Yeah. Of course, that's due to enviousness of Krishna, which is the seed of why we're here. But this is the situation. But how do we approach Krishna? How do we approach Bhagavad Gita? Well, according to Krishna himself, he says that sarvasya chaham hridi sannivasto matasmiti yoganamapavanam cha vadaischa savera hamavidyo vidanta krit veda videva chaham. He says, he's situated in everyone's heart, and from him comes all remembrance and forgetfulness. So it's not a question of studying this simple matter, even the simple matter of Atmagyan. The nature of the soul is chit, sat, chit, ananda. But how do we really know it? How do we really come to know it? And how do we know it at the time of death? Apohanam cha. Krishna says, "I can make you forget. I can make you remember, smatir, or forget." So what is the real source of knowledge in the end? It's Krishna. In other words, when we're chanting japa, we are asking for Krishna for his association. We're actually, Krishna's dancing on our tongue. And by that association, favorable activities in Krishna consciousness, then we will remember Krishna at the time of death, automatically. Smitir ganama pojam. Vadaischa savera hama vividyo. That he says that I am the Vedic knowledge. I'm the compiler of Vedanta. Vedanta is the conclusion. Okay, so even the most intimate or confidential knowledge about Krishna is a form of Vedanta. It's all Vedanta. And to really know it, Krishna says, "I'm the source of the remembrance and forgetfulness. I'm situated in everyone's heart. And you can know it through me. I am actually the compiler of the Vedas. And I am the source of the Vedanta. I know the Vedas as they are." So Krishna is the source of all of it. So what is real knowledge? What is vigyan? It can only mean to know Krishna. And if Krishna blesses us, then we can know. Yes, we must study diligently, but we don't study like an academic who's just collecting information. Krishna consciousness is not information. Like the digital age, the information age, it's not a pile of information and you try to accumulate it and somehow or other digest it, and then somehow or other you've made it. It's all about depending on Krishna. I was mentioning to you about the roadshow, but we call it the roadshow, this traveling first transcendental exposition. So after the show, I wanted to, after Srila Prabhupada watched the show, we went on many college campuses. And Vishnu John and at that time Kirtananda Maharaj, Vishnu John Swami, said, you know, you should show Srila Prabhupada the posters. Because I was involved with the PR. I used to sell the show, go onto the college campuses and promote it. And we'd sign contracts. And so we had posters. And the posters, one of the posters we had was the cover of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which showed, of course, the Vaikuntha planets, Goloka, all the forms of Vishnu. And it incorporated that cover and it put some other writing on there, other copy, other artistic designs. And it was a very beautiful poster. So I was showing it to Srila Prabhupada. Now, you know the cover of the first canto with all the Vaikuntha planets, and you know that the origin, that cover actually was painted by Muralidhar Prabhu, and a nice artist. Prabhupada liked him. Although I remember talking to Srila Prabhupada once. I actually got to be Srila Prabhupada's servant for a few days. And I said, so how is Muralidhar's paintings coming? And he goes, oh, it's coming along very nicely. But he said, but he is so slow. Prabhupada wanted things done really quick. But in any case, he did a beautiful job, got the cover done. And I was showing this to Srila Prabhupada. And it was based on his original Bhagavatams. When Srila Prabhupada arrived here in 1965, he brought trunks with him. And it had the Bhagavatams in it, the original first canto. And many of you probably know what I'm talking about. And there was the simple line drawings. And that was the basis for the new cover, which was painted by Muralidhar. So I was showing this to Srila Prabhupada. And I thought, I'm going to try to flatter my guru. I'm going to say something flattering. I'm going to say, oh, well, Srila Prabhupada, actually this poster is based on the cover of the Bhagavatam, and you designed that Bhagavatam cover before you came to the United States. I said, this was your idea. I was trying to be humble, so-called, and I wanted to praise him. So I said, this was your idea. And Srila Prabhupada looked at me like, literally, nice try. Nice try. Try to flatter me, huh? Well, it won't work. He immediately, with his finger out, said, what my idea? It is all in Shastra. So that's the whole point. That's the whole point. Even a small thing like that, Srila Prabhupada would not take credit for it. He wouldn't take any interest in it. He only wanted everything to be through the parampara. And in that way, we take shelter. In that way, Krishna gives us the remembrance. And that way, we know things as they are. And that is how we actually gain knowledge from these verses and these purports of Bhagavad Gita. So this is the science of Krishna consciousness that Srila Prabhupada gave us. That we take shelter of the parampara, we do not become independent, we do not become proud scholars. We are at his lotus feet. And we are being benedicted by descending knowledge because we are eager for it. And therefore Bhagavad Gita never becomes obsolete. And never, we are never tired of Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna. I don't know if you would normally have question period, but
we do.
Okay. I don't know if I'll be able to answer anything. I don't know if I touched on anything that interests you.
There's a kind of personal question. You know, I do service with a devotee, and he's kind of inimical towards me. It's kind of hard to do service with him. And I kind of know the answer is that I have to, you know, not offend him because he's in my service, but sometimes it's not so easy to... I mean, I'm not going to mention the person's name, but it's not easy to...
Does this have anything to do with this verse by
no,
chance?
No, okay. But it's kind of on my mind.
Well, I think you have to seek your immediate authority.
Okay.
In a temple, there's a structure, and we respect that structure. We're a family, so we have to get along with one another.
Yeah.
But we also have elders, and we have big brothers, and little brothers, and sisters. And so we have to. So you have to approach your bigger brother. Does anybody else like to make a comment about the eternality of the soul? Maybe their own realization or something they find interesting they would like to share. Yes, Manjari. Well, therefore, we know the philosophy that you plant a seed and the creeper grows. And if you tend the creeper properly, it eventually takes shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. So it's a process. And all that analogy has many aspects to it. One thing is that a plant needs regular. Anybody who has been successful at planting anything knows you don't just plant it and walk away. That's the difference. Some people are known as having a green thumb. But what is the real characteristic? They're always watching, going back to the plant, checking, noticing, sensitive. So, Krishna consciousness is a process. It requires patience, but it also requires diligence. And yeah, it's not an overnight process. That's correct. But the key is to live a life such that you will not abandon the process. At least that's my... That, to me, is a very key thing. Because you see people who may come and go. And so, therefore, there might have been something about the way they were approaching the process that gave it a short life. So the whole idea is to set your life up in such a way that you're steady. Plants don't like people who aren't steady. Right, Maitreya? You're a plantsman. You can't abandon a plant.
Sometimes you can walk away, and if you're looking at them all the time, they don't seem to grow, but if you neglect them sometimes, sometimes they do grow.
Yeah, and maybe a tree, but more delicate plants, they get overwhelmed by all the weeds. They get overwhelmed. Well, that's yeah. That is, of course, the nature of the soul in our background, our individual backgrounds. We're all individuals, so therefore we can't predict the exact outcome. I was interested in actually a medicine before I became a devotee. And I was working in a hospital as a kind of an apprentice, you know, so to speak, orderly. And I would talk to doctors, and they would tell me that spontaneously, I don't know why they came, and they would tell me that we apply the same medicine in the same situation, circumstances, environment, to two patients who have the same diagnosed problem, pathology, and yet there's a different response. So I think it has a lot to do with what Krishna is saying. I'm situated in everyone's heart. So he's there in everyone's heart. And we're reciprocating or not. So according to the interest and our pursuit, our interest, then Krishna is giving us encouragement. Krishna is giving us knowledge. Krishna is giving us awakening. It's about approaching Krishna. It's not about becoming a scholar. That's all I'm trying to say. There's a Lord Chaitanya... He was in, I think it was South India. That's a catch-all phrase when you're talking about pastimes, Lord Chaitanya. But anyway, and he found a devotee reading Bhagavad Gita, but he was blind. You know the story. And he was saying, "How is it possible you can be reading this Bhagavad Gita?" He said, "Well, I understand that Krishna is instructing his devotee Arjuna. And he doesn't have to do that. He's out of his mercy. He's even driving his chariot for him. And so therefore, I'm just amazed. And in this way, I'm staying in touch with the Bhagavad Gita, even though I can't read it." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Yes, this is the actual realization." So it's about Krishna. Everything's about Krishna. We're approaching... Through the holy name in Kali Yuga, we're approaching Krishna, and therefore we then can do deity worship, we therefore can read Shastra, and we can associate, and that the benefit comes. Otherwise, without that, it's dry. We'll not actually make advancement. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.